The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That's neat. Thank you, ladies. Well, I tell you what, God has blessed our church with some wonderful, talented people to be able to sing. And some of us won't be able to reach that level until we get to heaven. But that was great. Thank you so much. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 30. And let me just read it contextually here in context. The Bible says, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." So he's traveling from one city to the other city. The Bible says, "Fell among thieves and stripped him of his raiment." The Bible says, "Wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." As I said this morning, just to reiterate just a couple of things you can understand about this particular story, it was the most well-traveled area as far as a road is concerned, but it was also one of the most dangerous. It's where all the bandits kind of held out, waiting for somebody to travel by themselves, and then they would launch upon them, try and kill them. Jericho, at the time of the writing of this particular passage, had over 12,000 Levites that were used to doing temple care that lived there. The Bible says, "And by chance there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side." I think that's a shame that here's a priest that knew what was right to do, chose to do not that which was right. The Bible says, "And likewise a Levite," this also represents the religious crowd. The Bible says that when he was at the place, he came and looked on him, passed by on the other side. Religious people ought to know better. These guys did not. The Bible says, "But a certain Samaritan," the Bible says, "as he journeyed," so he was just journeying from one place to another place, just happened to be the road that he was going to use. The Bible says, "When he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." And the Bible says he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave it to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.'" Now look at verse 36. The Bible says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves?" So he said, which of these do you think is a real neighbor? I want to give you some things about just being a real neighbor. Secrets to loving our neighbors. Secrets to loving our neighbors. Spurgeon was a great preacher, and Charles Spurgeon would preach to large crowds. It is said, according to history, that he was preaching to crowds of 10,000 people before he had a church building erected. And so they would go and they would rent out a place that was called the Royal Siri Music Hall. It would sit 10,000 people. He would get up and he would preach. One day there was an American that was coming through, was invited to hear Spurgeon preach by an English friend. And so he heard Spurgeon preach there, standing out in this mammoth lobby. And the Englishman said to the American, "Hey, what'd you think about that message?" And the American said, "Wow, what a preacher." Spurgeon was standing just a little bit back. He heard the American say, "Wow, what a preacher." And he started to weep. Somebody came up to Spurgeon and said, "Why are you weeping?" He said, "Because he should have said, wow, what a savior." Can I tell you, if you're not careful, you can do the wrong things representing yourself when you should be representing the Savior. That's how come we said when you go out and you love your neighbor, hey, give them that gospel track and tell them there's a way to go to heaven. Connect it, if you will. Let me give you some things, some secrets about loving your neighbor tonight. Statement number one, loving our neighbor means sacrifice. Loving our neighbor means sacrifice. Now, who's your neighbor? Person sitting beside you, person sitting in front of you, person sitting behind you, person that you pass in the grocery store, person that you work with, person that you pass at a gas station, a person that lives down the street from you. Who is your neighbor? A neighbor is somebody that God brings across your path at any given moment. That's a neighbor. Now, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to be able to sacrifice for that neighbor. Mark chapter 12 and verse 33, the Bible says, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength. And it says, and to love thy neighbor, it says, as himself, is more than all, it says, the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love them more than we consider it a sacrifice. Hudson Taylor was a man that went to China, great missionary. He was a very busy medical doctor. I mean, he knew what it was like to be a medical doctor and be able to work, if you would please, in this particular medical doctor's office. And the medical doctor that he worked for that was in that office insisted that whenever I forget to give you a paycheck, remind me. And I'll pay you. I just get so busy, sometimes I forget to pay the people that work in the office. And all of a sudden, 1 week went by, 2 weeks went by, 3 weeks went by, no paycheck. Taylor went up, Hudson Taylor was going to ask him for the paycheck, and God smote his heart and said, no, you just pray and see what I can do. He heard about his neighbors that was ill that night, went over to visit his neighbors, and we went by the neighbor's house. These people didn't have anything to eat. And so he said, well, let me pray for you. So he got on his knees. All he had was just 2 coins in his pocket. He got on his knees, and he started to pray. And he said, dear God, I pray that you would meet my neighbor's needs. They're hungry tonight. I pray that you would feed them. And as he started to pray and started to ask God to meet his needs, God spoke to his heart and said, you've got money in your own pocket. You meet their needs. He kind of argued with the Lord while he was praying. But as he got up, he felt so bad that he was asking God to meet their needs when he had money to meet their needs himself. And so he reached into his pocket, pulled out the few coins that he had, gave it to the people, and then he went out and kind of in a miserable state of being, he looked up to the Lord and said, now I don't have anything. I mean, first you spoke to my heart about not asking for my paycheck. Then you spoke to my heart about giving those people the only money I had. Now I don't have anything at all. He got back to the office, and when he got back to the office, his employer remembered that he hadn't paid him in 3 weeks and said, but you know, because you haven't bugged me, I'm not only going to give you 3 weeks' pay, but I'm going to give you a bonus. What is that? That's God. Hey, I'm saying tonight, you can learn to sacrifice for others. Why? Hey, Christ did that for you. He did that for me. We can step up to the plate and do it for somebody else. We can reach out and try and help somebody else. God knows who you are. God knows what you have. God knows where you live. And the same God that answered prayer in years gone by is the same God that can answer your prayers today. You're not on your own island. You're not stranded all by yourself. God can take and come through for you. God can help you. I'm saying this, that loving your neighbor sometimes means sacrifice. Loving your neighbor sometimes means this, that you choose not to give them harm. When all of a sudden your neighbor does something that bothers you, you don't have to bother them back. Now remind you, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You say, well, my neighbor did something to hurt me. Okay, then you take it by God's grace and smile. Thank God for it. Be thankful for it. Every valley that you go through, you'll learn more in the valley most of the time than you'll learn on the mountaintop. There are things you'll see in the valley, learn in the valley, experience in the valley. You'll never be able to learn, see, and experience on the mountaintop. Every place you go, God uses it as a tool. We lived in Brooklyn, New York for years, worked on staff. I learned things in Brooklyn, New York I never would have learned in the hillside of Maryland. When we left Brooklyn, New York, and we went to Mississippi to serve on staff, I learned things in Mississippi I never would have learned in New York City. When we were serving in Mississippi and we left there to take a pastorate in Tennessee. Wow, I learned things pastoring a small country church in the hills of Tennessee, or should I say in the plain land where we were of Tennessee. Hey, I learned things there I never learned in my 10 years of being an assistant pastor and youth director. When we went in evangelism for 12 years, we traveled this country, 4 to 5, sometimes 6 other countries. Can I tell you, I learned things in evangelism I never learned. And can I tell you, when I came here, I have learned things at Parkside Baptist Church that I'd never learned in all those other ministries. Now, can I tell you why? I'll tell you why. Simply because, loving your neighbor, you decide to let God teach you things. Sometimes you learn things by hardship. Sometimes you learn, I never forget it. Man, I was flying from the Philippines. I was excited. Next day, I had a great conference. And I'm getting ready to leave, flying off. The next day, I misread my ticket. When I read my ticket, I was having a great time that evening, went out to eat with some friends of mine, finished up the conference the night before, thought I had the whole day off. I wasn't going to leave till the next morning, I thought. Talk about your hair standing up on the back of your neck, scared, sweaty hands, heart beating. Went back, started to pack up my stuff for an early morning flight. Looked on my ticket, my plane had already left. Called the assistant pastor up. I said, I got a challenge. He said, what's your challenge? I said, I missed my plane. He said, you what? How'd you do that? I said, misread the ticket, missed my plane. Come get me now. I said, let's get down to the airport. Let me see if I can hop another one. We went down to the airport. The office was closed. We waited for 4.5 hours. He sat there beside me. Can I tell you, we fellowship like we never fellowshiped before. He didn't want to leave me. I didn't want him to leave me. We sat there, and for 4.5 hours, we discussed philosophy. We corrected everything that's ever been wrong in fundamentalism in the United States of America, in Africa, in the Philippines. We had the total answer for the world's problems. Now, can I tell you what? Listen, when all of a sudden harm comes your way, you don't have to get a bad attitude about it. You can smile as you sweat. The Bible says, listen, over Romans chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, or 8 and 10 rather, the Bible says, owe no man anything. It says, but love one another. For it says, he that loveth one another hath fulfilled the law. Listen to it in verse 10. It says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. All right, so what do? You just decide that here's what you're going to do. When all of a sudden problems come your way, it's okay. Take it. Take it. You got a tooth that's broken. Don't take it out on the world. It's not their problem. Well, now you're quiet. You got a foot out of joint. It's not their problem. You lost your job. Don't take it out on the world. You got a cantankerous person in front of you. The green light is now green. Big green, it's time to go. Hey, don't be one of those short-tempered people laying on the horn, putting up the fist. Hey, thank God for extra time. Don't be in a hurry. Slow it down. Statement number one, loving our neighbor means sacrifice. Loving our neighbor, statement number two, means it doesn't do harm. Statement number three, loving our neighbor builds up the weak. Builds up the weak. We got a lady lives next door to us. My wife, every so often, she's an older lady, would just simply slide next door and just love on her, check on her, see how she's doing. We lived in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. There was a man across the street, and he's an older gentleman. He owned the I forget what it's called, Fishing Brothers or something. Anyway, it was the rod and the reel, sold them to Walmart, made some good money off of it, and his brothers are the ones that fabricated that, but he lived across the street. You know, he had a hard time mowing his lawn. So we would go over and we would mow his lawn. He loved my wife's cookies and stuff like that. So I'd take him cookies. We'd sit around the table. We'd eat cookies together. Now, wait a minute. That's just taking care of a neighbor. Taking care of a neighbor. You know, God wants us to be able to reach out and help somebody that's a neighbor. Now, I'm talking about anybody that's around you. See somebody that has poochy lip disease? Come on. See somebody that's down? See somebody that's discouraged? Hey, go up to them and encourage them a little bit. Go up to them and talk to them a little bit. See somebody that's lonely? See somebody that's having a hard time? Yeah, go up to them. See somebody that's sitting all by themselves? Hey, go sit beside them. Ask them to sit beside you. Say, hey, I notice you've been sitting beside yourself. I notice you've been sitting all by yourself. Hey, listen, can you come and sit beside me? Can I come sit beside you? Would that be okay? Can we spend some time? Hey, you want to go out and I'll treat you to a hamburger? French fries? McDonald's? Sweet Frog? Salt Grass? Cadillac? Brand new home? What you do? I'm saying this. Here's what you ought to decide. Hey, build up the week. Help somebody. Somebody's not doing well in the college. Walk beside them. Help them to study. Somebody's not doing well in the high school, having difficulty with Algebra 1, Algebra 2, trigonometry. Well, hey, walk beside them and help them and love them. See one of these guys up here, and they got poochy lip disease, bottom lip sagging down between the two big toes. Go up to them. Don't think they're spiritual. They work for me. They're not. Go up and encourage them. Walk beside them. Help them. Everybody needs some type of encouragement. I'm saying this. Learn to build up those that are your neighbors. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And it says not to please ourselves. In other words, don't get heady and high-minded about it. Well, let me tell you that I have helped so many people. God is working all over me. God. Hey, forget that. Don't get proud. Don't get high-minded, hung up on yourself. I hope you cut yourself by shaving. Verse 2, the Bible says, let every one of us please his neighbor. Says, for his good to edification. So what do? When somebody does something good, praise God for them and praise them for that. Praise them for that. Now, I know you don't believe this, but we live in a negative society. Now, I know that's hard to believe. Because I know that in your house, there is no negativity. But I hate to shock your system. But outside of these walls, there's a little bit of negativity going on. So if that is true, and it might just be, then why don't you try to encourage somebody? You know, people come to church, here's what they think about. Here's what they equate church with. God, goodness, prayer, smiling, friends, deliverance, help. They don't equate church with trouble, pressure, discouragement, negative words, hatred, malicious activities. No. They equate it with everything that's good because after all, the Bible says God is good. So understand this tonight that when you see somebody that you think is weaker than you, first off, don't stand over them in a preeminence way, but at the same time, help. Bible says here that every one of us says, please his neighbor for his good. Now, wait a minute. And it says to edification. There was George W. Truett gave the illustration many years ago when he pastored. He said this as he gave the illustration about a dramatic rescue. He said, I watched the firemen as they climbed the ladder. He said they thought they had everybody. One of those extended long ladders. Buildings on fire, thought they had everybody. They started to take the ladder down, and all of a sudden, on the fifth story, there's a woman waving something out the window, saying, don't leave me. One of the firemen went over, he took his clothes, and he put the suit back on, and then they took wet towels, saturated them, put them all around him. They got on the ladder, extended it up. He's reaching for the woman. Fire is coming out. She's getting weak, and in a panic state, she dove. He caught her, barely caught her. Holding on to her, pulling her body up, was able to get her coming down. That fire is pushing out. And all of a sudden, the fire chief started to yell from the very bottom. Said, fellas, he's losing his strength. He's going to drop her. We got to help him. So all of the men started to cheer. And the fire chief said, cheer for him, boys. Cheer for him, boys. Cheer for him, boys. And they cheered him all the way down the ladder. Can I tell you, somebody needs somebody when they're weak to cheer for them. Preacher boy gets up and he begins to preach. He needs to be able to look out. Somebody smile. Somebody say amen. Somebody be excited. Hey, when somebody, like a little Lofton boy, leads his first soul or souls to Christ, hey, can I commend you? You clap for him. You say, well, I don't believe in clapping in church. You probably need it worse than him. I'm saying this. I'm saying, hey, thank God for those that are building somebody up. Thank God for those that's stepping out to encourage somebody. Hey, don't be that bump on a log. Don't be somebody that's always looking for something to say negative, wrong, getting upset. Thank God for people that pat somebody on the back, help somebody, encourages somebody. Let that be you. I'm saying tonight, a loving neighbor sacrifices. Loving neighbor doesn't try to harm somebody else. Loving neighbor tries to build up the weak. Statement number four, loving neighbor serves somebody. They look for somebody to serve. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, for brethren, says, we have been called unto liberty. Only not, it says, liberty for occasion for the flesh, but by love to serve one another. Verse 14, the Bible says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, who's the neighbor? Person around you right now? Well, they don't smell like me, look like me, walk like me, act like me, but they're your neighbor. Well, they got shortcomings, but they're your neighbor. But they've got difficulties. Welcome to the human race. They're your neighbor. William Booth was over in London. William Booth had a burden for the drunkards, the morphine addicts, the prostitutes, the poor, the undesirables. He decided he was going to establish a thing called the Salvation Army. Salvation Army was known for three things when it was established: soup, soap, and salvation. Soup, soap, and salvation. He established it. He was in his 80s and he was going blind. He had a son by the name of Bramwell. Bramwell was his son and went with him almost everywhere he went. One day they went to the doctor and the doctor came in to tell Mr. Booth, I got bad news. You're going blind. Within a matter of weeks, you're not going to be able to see anymore. He took Bramwell with him. They went into a private room. And as Bramwell was there with his dad, he said, "Son, I want to testify. God's been so good." He said, "God has used your dad over the years to rescue thousands of people. And I've been able to see it with my own eyes. With my own eyes, I've seen those that were prostitutes converted. Now outstanding people. I've seen the drunkards made sober through Christ. The morphine addicts are now made whole. The poor have jobs. God's done some wonderful things, and I've been able to see it all." He said, "But now I'm going blind. Now I'm going to see how God can use me without my eyes." Eric was here, did a good job. I watched him as the Bontegals hosted them, and I'm very grateful for their kindness. I watched Eric as he had that little pole that he undid and it extended. I watched him as he felt his way around, couldn't see. Hey, we saw the pictures. We saw the pictures of the Muslims that he led to Christ. We saw the pictures of the little boys and little girls and teenagers and college age and adults. We saw the pictures. Did you get this? But he never did. He's been reaching people that he can't see. He doesn't know what they look like. He doesn't know what type of housing there is. All he knows is that God has led him to go to a country that is Muslim populated to give the gospel, and he could care less. Wouldn't it be good if you put your blinders on? Well, I'm not going to help them because after all, look at the way they look. Well, I'm not going to help them because after all, I don't like their personality. Wouldn't it be good if you put your blinders on? Wouldn't it be good if you said, "Man, I'm going to love everybody that's in this room and help them"? And by the way, sometimes loving does mean correction. Sometimes loving does mean being firm. Sometimes loving does mean restricting a little bit. Sometimes loving does mean giving a sense of direction. Because after all, if you do love somebody, sometimes you've got to give them some medicine. But can I also tell you that you ought to take the blinders off? You be somebody that will be there, that will serve. You know, when I first came to this church, of course, you know you had Brother May, an older man of God, and you did right by him 110%. You didn't let him lift a thing. I mean, you know, and here I come. I'm a little bit younger. And so it came time to clean up. You got to understand that we were in evangelism. So we helped to do everything. If the toilets were stopped up, we helped to unstop them. If the yard needed mowing, we helped them mow the yard. If I remember getting with the dear brother we lived with over in Louisiana on property there, Simpson. Bob Simpson. So he had to do it. I got it. Bob Simpson. I remember living with him. And he said, "Hey, there's a dear brother that's on an Indian reservation, and he said his house is falling down." He said, "What do you think? What do you think if we get some men together in the church and let's go fix his house up?" I said, "I think that'd be neat." We loaded up. We took our hammers. We took our saws. We took our screwdriver. We went over there, tore out the guy's bathroom, put him a brand new bathroom in there, ran him new electric because he's about to fry the whole place, tore up the living room floor because when he put his foot on it, it would bounce back. And I took my boys and we went over there and they helped to put on a roof. We helped to restructure rooms. By the way, what is that? Can I tell you what that is? That's just serving somebody. That's just helping somebody. Can I say this? You know, loving our neighbor means sacrifices, means doing no harm to someone else. It means helping the weak. It means serving one another. Hey, let me just give you, can I give you just two more and I'm done? Here it is. Loving our neighbor means this, telling the truth kindly. Telling it kindly. Well, they just need to know the truth. Let me tell you. Well, maybe you could be a little bit more kind about it. You know, maybe you could maybe soften your words, add some wisdom to it, and get more mileage. Maybe instead of calling your child an idiot, you could tell them how they could become a good child. Wait. James chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. If you say amen, we'll get out of here quicker. Amen. Telling the truth kindly. Let me go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. The Bible says, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth to his neighbor. It says, for we're all members one of another. A president, James Madison, he was 85, old, dilapidated health. They couldn't find any medication that would help him. He was tired of taking the meds. Old friend in the neighborhood said, look, I'd like to send you a box of pills. It's homemade. Madison trusted him, homemade pills. The guy had taken and he grounded up the vegetables, put them in capsules. Mr. Madison took the capsules, took them all, wrote back a letter that said this, dear friend, thank you so much for the pills in the box. To be honest with you, I don't feel any different. However, just to be honest with you, I believe that they might have helped somewhere deep down inside. What was he doing? Here's what he was doing. He was telling him the truth, but with some kind words. Come on. Look, I'm all for correcting. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a pussyfooter. I'm all for correcting, but there's a way to correct. I'm all for saying, hey, don't do it, but there's a way to do that. Let me give you one last thing. A loving neighbor does this, does not choose the end. You don't know how your neighbor's going to receive it. They don't choose the end. James chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, and if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Doesn't say nothing about the end. He said, all I'm worried about is you practicing what you're supposed to practice right here and now. Not about the end. You don't know what the end is going to be by loving your neighbor. But you do know this, you're supposed to love them. You go out this week and you say, hey man, just want to, just like to pay for your haircut. Pay for your haircut. By the way, I'm at Parkside Baptist Church. Inside this piece of paper right here tells you how to go to heaven. Love for you to read it. Like to see you one day in heaven. Take care of the haircut. Walk away. You don't know the end result. You don't know the end result. Now, if you're a soul winner, of course, you can go farther than that. You know, you can say, hey, right here shows you how to go to heaven. Let's talk. Let me show you what the Bible says. You can go farther than that. But you don't know what the end result is. I gave my story this morning about, I was out soul winning. I need to reiterate it. And I was out soul winning, man, knocking doors. Had 7 men that showed up on my team. I was the Lone Ranger. And so Brother Bontegal took the men, and I was by myself knocking doors. And I don't mind doing that. That's okay. And so I was knocking doors, and man, all of a sudden, guy over there on the top of the apartment, and he started yelling at me. He said, are you a cop? I said this morning. I said, you want me to be? He said, no. I said, I'm not a cop. I'm a preacher. Parkside Baptist Church. Amen. He said, that's good. He kept yelling at me. He said, you believe Jesus walked on the water? I said, yeah. Walked away. Went over and knocked on the door. Talked to a guy. I came back out. He said, hey, preacher. He said, come on. He said, you believe that God does miracles? I said, of course. Walked away. I looked over there. He's gone. I thought, whoa, that's it. Knocked on the door. I came out, Brother Bell, went to another door, turned around, he's right there. He said, I like you. I thought, I'm in trouble. I said, man, I like you too. God bless you. And I said, I'm glad you're out here. That's great. I'll tell you what, I'm going to go over here, and I'll come by your house later and talk to you. I thought that'd take care of it. He said, no. Are you listening to me? I finally got away from him. I'm looking for the guys. I'm thinking rescue 911. He went back his way. Okay, now wait a minute. Watch this. Okay, are you listening to me? Just because I was kind to him, stay with me, it drew him out. Do you know if you're kind to somebody, you'll get more, maybe than what you want, but you'll get more? You know, if you're kind to somebody, you might help somebody along the way that never would have made it. I preached for Brother Leonardo Ribatan in Manapala, Philippines. Never will forget it. I preached on don't be a quitter. Preacher's conference, don't be a quitter. American missionary, Chris listens to the messages. He's sitting in the back. American missionary came forward that night. Never will forget it. And he said, boy, I tell you what, I've gone through this, this, and this. I was planning on going back to my church and resigning. Are you listening to me? He said, that one message changed my life forever. I'm not going to be a quitter. Went back, served for years in the Philippines. Bible college, or church, Bible college, academy. Hello? I'm saying this, God can use you. God can use you. Passing through a church, the guy said, can you preach for me? He didn't know me. I didn't think from Adam. I said, sure. Only had one message in my Bible. That was it. So I felt led to preach it. It's called The Pastor and His People. Never will forget it. I called the guy we were going through. He was going to set up a book table. He said, will you preach for it? I said, sure. One message, pastor and his people. I preached that message like normal. You know, you do have some normal ways you give invitations sometime that's unique. Had the pastor and his wife come to the front. People came forward, shook the hand, said, we sure do love you. Pastor met with me after the service. So I want to show you something. Fly leaf of his Bible, resignation papers. He says, I was going to read those tonight. He took them, tore them up, said, no more. One word. One word. One word. Preaching conferences, here's what I found out. We have a lot of people that surrendered full-time Christian service. Let me tell you why. Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why? You want to know why?
Yes, sir.
You do, good. It's because I give an invitation for full-time Christian service. They've been wanting to surrender all along, but nobody gave them a chance. God, wasn't that, oh, that was a powerful message. Wow. Oh, come on. God already been working on them. They just needed a way to, come on. I love it. Guys get up to preach. I go up to them and say, man, that was great. Man, you did a good job. That is great. Hey, one day us guys are going to get old one day. Long time from now. And you'll be able to take our pulpits and you'll be able to preach. Man, that is just so good. Man, you did good. I'm proud of you. They get this smile on their face. They walk away. Sometimes that's all they need. I've never seen anybody that doesn't need somebody to believe in them. Never. I got people in this church. I'm done. Here it is. I'm not asking you to do this. I'm just testifying. I get people in this church every Sunday morning. I'm out there in the lobby area. They'll come up to me. They'll give me a folded piece of paper. Come up to me. And they'll hand it to me. I said, well, thank you. Stick it in my Bible. Read it later. Simple stuff. Preacher, thank you for that message. Simple stuff. Thank you for being my pastor. Simple stuff. Goes right in a file. You know why? Because one day I might need that file. Brother Boku, I love him. I miss him. He's a friend. Brother Boku was here. I think I said this in my Sunday school class. Maybe. I'm not sure. Did I? You paid attention? Good. He's sharp. Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that. I cannot stand to write letters. I have Mrs. Wells write, you're up there, Rebecca's not feeling well, and she sent me something. I write horrible. It's terrible. I go to write a letter. I like doing things fast. I eat fast. Thanks, buddy, yeah. But when I write, you can't read it. I mean, it looks like a doctor's handwriting. You cannot read it. By the way, that's how come you're still sick. Nobody could read those prescriptions either. So I dictate the letters. Secretary, unless it's a really personal letter, but secretary would be there and they do their thing, and they do that. Then it goes to a proofreader. Proofreader reads it, goes back to the other secretary, they print it off, I sign it, it's out the door. Little system. Brother Boku is here. I do that. I dictate him some letters. And he said, it would mean a whole lot more to me if you wrote it handwritten. He said, there's just something I like. I like handwritten letters. They mean more to me. I said, thanks a lot. I said, I'll try. Because it means something more to, I'll try. And I sat down, got my piece of paper out. Brother Salazar tried to write it. Horrible. My brain was not keeping up with my hand. Then my hand beat my brain. Words misspelled. Didn't look good. Tear it up. Just throw it away. Get another piece of paper. Pull it out. Begin to write. Tear it up. Throw it away. I go through 5 and 6 pieces of paper just trying to write 3 lines. So finally I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write it in my chicken scratch over here, then I'll copy it over here. I thought that'll work. Now I've gotten good. Better. Now I think it through. I don't write over here, but I'll take my time and I'll write it. 3 days later when I'm done, I'll be able to give it out. But now wait a minute. But can I tell you, I found out that other people felt the same way. Now, please don't expect me to write you all a handwritten letter. But I'm saying this. I'm saying you look for things that encourage people. Hey, for some people, it's a shaking of a hand. For other people, it's a gentle smile. For other people, it's a kind word. For other people, they would just thank heaven if you would just not be negative for one day. They would really start believing that God still does miracles. I'm saying you got some neighbors around you. For the dorm guys, clean up your area. Do the dishes, take the trash out before they come to take you out. I'm saying this, there's things you can do to help each other. I thank God we're a church. And boy, I tell you what, man, I could get up here tonight, I could preach. Boy, I could preach against sin and nail high. But can I tell you, sometimes we just need to reevaluate ourselves the way we're helping each other. Sometimes we have to work on those things. Could you be a better dad, better husband, better mom, wife, better kids, better church member? Could you?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.